The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
Oh, Cory Booker, yesterday. Do we have the audio?
I do want to give you a chance to speak about your comments on gay and lesbians. You said in a speech that mourning in America that endorses perversion and calls it an alternative lifestyle, is your words. Is being gay a perversion?
Okay, can I ask? I mean, what does this have to do with the Secretary of State? What does this have to do? I mean, are we going to get into negotiations, with Kim Jong-un about this? He wanted to know about gay sex? Cory Booker, stop the campaigning for just a second, will you? All right. If you want to know where this is headed, let me just start here. You should read about Salem, Massachusetts in 1693. Witchcraft is not what's on trial here. Faith, religious doctrine, Christianity, that's what's on trial here, because that's what happened. Booker was trying to pull out of the closet Christianity. He was trying Pompeo's Christianity. Well, what would have happened if he would have taken the bait? What would be the follow-up question? Are you or are you not a Christian? Are you now or have you ever been a Christian? How many times do you pray? Do you go to church every week? What's the follow-up? Is my constitution copy, the one that I have, different than everybody else's? Because in mine, freedom of religion is covered under the First Amendment. In fact, it's in the First Amendment to make sure that there was no religious litmus test to be able to serve in the government. You didn't have to believe one thing that somebody else didn't believe. This is why it's in the Constitution, because you used to have to go to a certain church and believe in a certain thing. Our founder said, nope, everybody can. You doesn't matter what church you go to. Doesn't matter if you don't go to church. It doesn't matter. Should it matter that Pompeo believes that gay sex is a sin? Or can we think what we want? Can we all believe? See, this is an argument my daughter and I had years ago. And now she has come to me and said, oh, wow, wait a minute. This isn't about love. No, it wasn't. It was for the average person. It was for the average person. Hey, I have a right to love who I want to love. You do. Okay, good. The government shouldn't be in this business of marriage at all. But there was a lot of other people where it wasn't about love. It was about control. It was about getting everybody else to believe and think what they believe and think. See, I thought that was the problem. I thought that was the problem that people had with religious people, that they were always trying to get you to believe and think exactly what they believe and think. I've always thought, let's leave each other alone. But I can't figure out for the life of me a group of people who have been forced to live in a closet, forced to not be who they are, how all of a sudden they want to force other people into their way of thinking. Will every Christian belief soon be on trial in the hallowed halls of Washington, D.C.? I mean, I know we're not going to try other religions, just Christianity. Will everything Christians view as sinful suddenly make them inadequate or disqualified from public service? Look, I have to tell you, I don't have a problem with Christianity at all. I have a problem with Christians, sure. Jesus, save me from your followers. I think that an awful lot. Because none of us are living it. I mean, I don't know if I can be called a Christian. Or I should say, I don't know if Jesus would call me a Christian. I would hope so, but I don't know. Christianity is absolutely under attack. We all have to start living it. But you can't tell me that if Keith Ellison, a practicing Muslim, was sitting in the same spot, that he'd be given the same question. They wouldn't have dared ask Keith Ellison anything like that about his religion. But Pompeo's Christianity, it's fair game. For some reason, it's easier for them to believe that a Muslim is capable of being both religious and able to champion secular rights of people, but a Christian isn't somehow. I mean, Muslims in the Middle East are throwing gay people off of rooftops. But we won't question that. And quite honestly, I don't think we have to question that. We have to know, do you want to throw people off rooftops? But that wasn't okay for Pompeo to say. Pompeo said yesterday that, look, I've treated everybody the same. My view is my view, but I treat everybody the same. Okay, then I'm cool with that. Hey, Mr. Keith Ellison, do you believe that homosexuality is a sin? Can't ask that question. I don't want to. I want to ask this, and I think I know the answer, Keith Ellison. Do you believe that people are right throwing gay people off the rooftops? He's going to say, no, Okay. Does anybody remember this comment?
I believe that marriage is not just a bond, but a sacred bond between a man and a woman.
Okay, Hillary Clinton breezed through her confirmation in near record time. Did you notice that no one asked her about the heresy of declaring marriage as being between a man and a woman? If it's so pivotal, being the Secretary of State, why didn't they ask her that? Oh, because she learned. No, she didn't. She was either lying then or she is lying now. She only came to this enlightened position when it became popular in the polls. Now, maybe they didn't ask her because her last name is Clinton. But it's also because Christianity is under attack like never before. We all have to put on the full armor of God because we ain't headed any place good, and the witchcraft trials are coming soon.
It's Friday, April 13th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It's shameful what's going on. But as long as we're living our lives the way we're supposed to be, as long as we humble ourselves, and as long as we live in love, I think we're going to be okay. It's going to just get harder and harder to do. And we've got 12 warships setting sail for Syria. This no longer sounds like a little missile strike. And we have telegraphed what we're going to do. And so Syria is moving all of their armaments onto Russian bases, which is going to make it even harder. And we're building a coalition. And apparently Donald Trump and John Bolton want to send a strong message. And the Pentagon is warning we're one mistake away here from having a war with Russia. Bringing in Jason Batrill, who is a senior advisor and researcher specializing in military and foreign operations. Hello, Jason.
Howdy.
So what are we heading for here?
12 warships. So we've got a carrier strike. I think it's the Truman heading in that direction. So that's about a total of 6 ships, the aircraft carrier and its support group. And then we also already have 4 destroyers in that area already with 2 submarines. So this is one of the larger buildups that we've seen probably since the Iraq invasion. Big difference there was there were 6 aircraft carriers. So there was a lot of firepower, but that was an invasion. This is obviously not an invasion, but this is still a very large buildup of firepower. Now, if you consider the coalition that you talked about that's building with the UK and France, if they even match that together by half each country, then we're looking at a significant force. Now, what that tells us is that they're not going to do what they did last time. It's not just going to be 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles at a random airport, Syrian base, and a few planes. And by the way, that airfield that we hit last time was operational in a matter of hours. So that last strike did nothing. So that's what Mattis is telling Donald Trump right now. He's saying, look, what we did last time didn't really do anything. It didn't do anything then. It didn't deter chemical weapons use because they're still using them like crazy. It didn't do anything. So what you have to do now, if you don't want to do something pointless, is go all in. You need to build a coalition. You need to strike multiple targets and actually do something that's going to cause
all pain. What are we doing?
And what does all in mean? All in means an invasion. It means a full war, right? Is that what you think they should do? Or you think that they are they even considering that? Because they tend to deny that they're even considering that.
Yeah, well, I don't think an invasion is quote unquote all in on this.
Okay.
I think that they're looking to significantly. The only thing that would make that would justify this is if they damage him enough that regime change would come organically. That would, you know, come out. You know, so the thing that changed the face of the war was Russian air power. So coalition, NATO coalition air power would reverse that. So a la, you know, Libya, Gaddafi. Something along those lines. That kind of that would be their all in.
And luckily, Libya worked out really well.
Great,
that was a home run.
Look at what we create this power vacuum. That's not going to be good because Iran is going to sweep in. Right?
You're exactly right. And the Joint Chiefs have actually said that before. They've made hints.
So what are we doing? What do you think the plan is?
That's a very good question. I don't think they've had a plan for a very long time. They've handed the area over to Iran. They've got no plans about what to do now. So Iran is basically just taking over Syria, Iraq. We've got no plans. We're sitting there with the Kurds wondering what the heck do we do all the time our NATO ally is coming down and killing the Kurds. So we're sitting there like saying, hey, you know, basically these Kurdish forces are our only footprint in this country. If we give in, which I believe we will, and let Turkey go ahead and take the Kurds out,
jeez,
then what's our plan? So now, really, they're looking at, okay, we have to give the Kurds to Turkey. They got to. I don't want that to happen, but they really have to. You know, do you side with the Kurds, or do you give in to a NATO ally? They're going to give in to the NATO ally.
That shouldn't have been a NATO ally in the first place.
Completely agree.
So we have the Syrian government and Hezbollah. They have reportedly evacuated the weapons from key locations, and Assad has moved his planes to the Russian-operated bases.
He's no dummy.
So what? We can't hit a Russian base.
You would hope not, but that is exactly what Mattis said in the elite conversations in their meeting yesterday. Was that Bolton and Trump were like, yeah, let's do it. But Mattis and Dumford were like, whoa, like there's significant chance for a mistake to happen here, which has been there since since the coalition against ISIS has happened, but never so more than now, right now. So if we do actually say, okay, forget that, we're still going to go all in, quote unquote, and go for some of these military assets, what if we make a mistake on our end and take out a couple Russian troops? This will spiral out of control. What if they... what if their S-400 missile system, which is the most advanced one in the world, kicks off and downs a B-2 bomber or a Raptor or any other coalition aircraft? This will spiral out of control. The chances for a mistake here are huge, and the consequences are catastrophic. We haven't been in a situation like this, I don't think, in an armed military. When have we ever during the Cold War been this close to Russian or Soviet soldiers?
So it sounds like
Cuban missile crisis.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. It sounds as if you're saying it's not worth the risk. Is that your? I mean, if you had to break it down, is that what you think?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's worth the risk. And if they believe it's worth the risk, it's such a heavy consequences. This has to go to Congress. Has to. And regardless, even if they're going to do that, even if it's not just a limited little strike like last year, they have to go to Congress. This has to be put to a vote.
Here's what's really disturbing to me. If you look at like the front page of the Drudge Report, or really pretty much anybody, you're not seeing this lead because nobody's clicking on that story. You're just not clicking on that story because it hasn't. Nobody's given this perspective yet. Nobody has said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Stop talking about Comey. Stop promoting his new book.
Yeah, but he was shaking his hands and he made a mental note that his hands weren't as small as had been reported. Did you hear that? Did you guys hear that? That's incredible. What an incredible leak.
This is what we're concentrating on. And the press is letting us down again. But this time, it may have serious consequences for the entire republic. Quickly. Because we cannot go into war with Russia. And it seems as though that's the way we're moving, and that's the way the rest of the world is moving. Can we pause for a second and have a conversation? You're right, Jason. This needs to go to Congress. Congress needs to rule on this one because the consequences are far too high. They're far too great here to just have somebody make the decision and go in and do something where it could clearly be World War III. If they would shoot down a B-2, or if we would hit their planes and their men, and they responded by launching at our battle group, and they sunk a ship or two, can you even imagine? I don't want war with Russia. At least I don't want one that just starts on a Tuesday and we're all looking at each other Wednesday going, wait, 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 what the hell just happened? America, we've got to wake up. We've got to have serious conversations. Stop talking about James Comey. And as I say that, CNN has their interview with James Comey.
Glenn Beck.
So, President Trump now is set to pardon Scooter Libby.
It's a brilliant piece of strategy.
It is.
First of all, Comey appointed the person who brought the charges against him, so it's a kind of a sticking in the face of Comey.
Yeah, but more importantly?
More importantly, it sends a great message to anyone who might do something, which is, if you're loyal to the president...
Guess who gets pardoned?
Guess who gets pardoned in the end. By the way, completely Trump's right to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's wrong in pardoning Scooter Libby. I think the charges were largely nonsense against him anyway. He's not doing anything wrong here, but the timing is a nice piece of strategy. It's a heck of a nice piece of strategy because it sends dual messages, kind of a middle finger to James Comey, and at the same time, a reminder to people who may or may not talk to certain special counsel. If you stay loyal, that in the end there might be something good.
Look at what Washington and the media are circling around. I mean, pardoning Scooter Libby, we're being told by Russia that we're on the eve of World War III, and this is what the press and Washington is dealing with.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
So you're thinking about selling your house? It's a big deal. I hope you're making the right decision. I bet you are. The market's been really on a big time uptick over the past few years, and it's nice to have a little bit of capital to be able to take out, maybe to be able to go and buy a different house or move somewhere you've always wanted to live. A lot of people are making that decision now, and this is the time of year that you make it. This is the time of year where people are going to check out houses. The weather's getting nicer. This is the time to make a move with realestateagentsitrust.com. You need to find a real estate agent that knows what they're doing. You don't want me as your real estate agent, someone who has absolutely no clue. just because you might know someone who's, you know, you go to the gym with or you ran into a restaurant, doesn't make them a good real estate agent. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com goes through a giant checklist of all the features that you need to make sure that you have a competent, really high-end real estate agent. And they're people that share your values because they listen to this show. Go to RealEstateAgentsITrust.com right now if you need to sell your house fast and for the most money. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There is a new show starting tonight on PBS called In Principle. It is hosted. Try this out for a side. It's hosted by Amy Holmes, who was with us. She was, I think, like employee number two or three of The Blaze. She was our news anchor for years, a conservative, and Michael Gershon, who was a speech writer for George W. Bush, a senior advisor for Bush, also a conservative. Grace, I think her last name is Coulter. She is the senior producer or the series producer. And I think she was hired by PBS from Sinclair. So I don't know how any of this happened, but it's on PBS, of all places, a conservative talk show, and I'm going to be a guest on it tonight. Welcome to Amy and Michael. How are you?
Good morning.
Doing great.
Doing
glad
good.
To be with you.
So, first of all, do you guys have any comment on how this, I mean, is it the rapture in 10 days that brought this show to PBS, or?
No, they came to us, WETA, here in Washington. I think they've been wanting to do a program like this for a while. You know, program, it's not an ideological program. We deal with things broadly, but the topics are of interest to people in the center and center-right, I think. You know, the goal is to have sort of a civil discussion about not the issues of the day, but really sort of the ideas beneath the news, what's going on in the realm of ideas. And, you know, they came to us, so we were honored to do it.
Michael, let me ask you, because you were in the White House with Bush from 2001 to 2006, I'm really disturbed by what things look like we're doing or preparing to do over in Syria. I'm not really sure, but things are really quite tense. What was it like when you were in the White House on days like this or weeks like this?
Well, we had too many of them, you know, with 9/11 and Afghanistan and Iraq, surge in Iraq. These were, you know, extraordinary days. My fear is that the process in the White House seems to be chaotic. I trust some of the actors like Secretary Mattis at the Defense Department, who is really a thoughtful and responsible guy. But when you have the president announcing policies in tweets and then withdrawing them in tweets, you know, you've crossed some line. I'm fearful about the process and the way they make decisions, which seems to be chaotic. And process can really matter when it comes to life and death decisions.
Are we preparing for war, do you guys think? Amy, do you think, are we preparing for war?
I don't know if we're preparing for war, and I don't think that...
I'm not sure Amy's there.
No, she's there, so we can hear her. Michael, you probably can't.
Oh.
Go ahead, Amy.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that we're necessarily preparing for war, and the president, I don't think, has signaled that. I don't think the American people want more engagement in the Middle East. I think there's actually fatigue about engagement in the Middle East. And, of course, the president campaigned on, so what did we get out of all of this? It doesn't seem particularly clear. And then after 8 years of the Obama administration and the Middle East becoming even more chaotic, I think the American people are certainly not prepared for that. I don't know about the process in terms of decision-making. Okay. We saw that there was the bombing after the chemical attack, you know, some months ago by the president. But I don't think that he's gearing up for some sort of full-scale military conflict.
I hope so. I hope you're right. Cory Booker yesterday went after Pompeo's Christianity. Does that have a place in a hearing for the head of the State Department?
Well, that's the first I'm hearing of it. Glenn, can you give us a few more details?
I mean, in fact, we have no religious tests for office in the United States. That's part of the Constitution. This has raised its head also in judicial nominations, particularly with Catholics, where their faith is questioned. Are they going to be unbiased, as though religious people can't make judgments about law and fact? So I think that this is one of the problems, is a kind of secularism that says religious motivations and views are somehow off limits, as though other people don't have their own philosophic
right.
approaches and views.
Right.
It's kind of privileging a secular perspective instead of saying we all are informed by our most basic beliefs and should be. I think that's a serious problem when you create a suspect class based on religious belief.
I'm really excited to have a new show with conservative perspective that everybody's going to be able to see. I think it's a really exciting thing. Amy, though, answer me this question. Should I be excited? Because the first guest is Glenn Beck. Does he say anything in this interview that will end our careers?
No, you should not be excited at all about Glenn Beck being on PBS. of course. And, we were discussing this after our interview with Mr. Beck, that we're there for open conversation, and viewers, listeners, when they watch tonight, they're going to get that. They're going to get thoughtful, reflective, candid, and, self-critical discussion. And Glenn, you were asked very directly by my co-host Michael about some of the motivations that are built into the structure of media, like getting ratings, getting more clicks, getting more likes, getting more upvotes. And how does that influence possibly content for hosts and guests and so forth? And Glenn, you were pretty candid about that. You're just like, yeah.
Well,
it matters.
I will tell you this, that I've done obviously a lot of interviews, and I was really impressed the way you two worked together and how you let me answer. And it wasn't a jump on every word that I say. It was you had some tough questions, obviously, but it was a chance to actually speak without being interrupted and without argument, just honest questions, which I don't see very often.
Well, that's the goal of our show. That's the goal of, when the show was conceived, it's just like there's a lot of the sort of World Wrestling Federation of politics on cable news, and you see people in their corners and the bell rings and then they go to battle. And we felt like there's a real hunger and a real need to have a more expansive, thoughtful, and illuminating conversation about the politics, policies, and issues that really matter. And so that's what we're aiming for.
Well, guys, thank you so much. We will be watching tonight, 8:30 Eastern time. It happens on Fridays following Washington Week, Fridays on PBS. It's called In Principle. And we wish you all the luck, and we'll see you tonight on your first episode.
The first episode airs tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 Central at PBS. You can go to pbs.org/inprinciple, the name of the show. The hashtag is inprinciple on PBS.
Have we slipped through another wormhole yet? I mean, it's PBS doing a conservative show? I don't know.
That's good, though. I mean, it's nice to have I'm really interested to watch the show because of the format that allows, I think, a conversation that doesn't lend itself completely to soundbite answers with everyone cutting each other off. I mean, I think we're at a point now with conservatism where it's important to have the voices from across that spectrum to be able to talk and actually let ideas come out. I mean, you will look at it on social media and you have this situation where you make a comment and then you have 500 people yelling at you and it just devolves.
Yeah, it was
so quickly.
It was really quite interesting and very self-reflective. I mean, I don't know. I think I interviewed with him for about an hour or so, and I think the interview is going to end up being about 12 minutes. So I don't know what.
Which is still pretty long.
Yes, still very long. Yeah. For television, that's an eternity. Mm-hmm. But I'm anxious to see what they use. But it was not a. It was a real good open discussion where we probed all of the media.
I think that's what people like, generally speaking, when talk radio is at its best. Right.
Yeah.
There are times where it sucks, of course. But that when talk radio is at its best, you've got 15 hours a week to dissect important issues and hopefully be entertained and everything along the way. But I mean, the goal being to be able to discuss those issues with a little bit of context,
yeah,
with a little bit of space, a little bit of a breathing room. You know, I think we get further and further away from that in the sort of clickbaity social media sort of world. But I think that's the strength of what talk radio has brought to the table for decades. And, you know, hopefully if they can get to a point, and it seems like this is what they're going for, where you can have actual conversations that aren't cut off every 10 seconds. It'd be nice.
The name of the show says it all. It's In Principle. And that's what we have to talk about. We have to talk about the bigger principles. This Comey stuff today.
Oh, my
gosh.
Which
is just promoting his book.
Yeah.
That's all this is doing, is promoting a book.
And, like, you know, Fox News, we have criticism of Fox News over the years. There's things that we don't like that they do. But the sort of media criticism of Fox is that they're not taking the news seriously because all they want to do is defend Trump. Mm-hmm. And you'll see, they'll show, you know, journalists all the time I see in my feed tweet things like, look at this, what's going on, and you'll see, you know, Russia scandal, and then like Tucker Carlson's talking about panda bears or something.
Yeah.
Did you see this one?
Yeah.
And there's been a bunch of these that have come around at the same time. Like, here's these other networks, MSNBC and CNN, taking things seriously while Fox is over there doing what they do, trying to ignore the big news. I gotta tell you, I was in my office.
Stop. Fox News, Trump weighs Syria options with allies.
Yes.
CNN, Trump allies fear feds have Cohen conversation dates.
Yeah, and I'll tell you.
Which one is the real news here?
Exactly. And you can talk about motivation all you want. You can say that, you know, maybe they're talking about this because they think the Comey book is bad for Trump. You can make that accusation. But I watched I was in my office working out yesterday afternoon for 2 hours. And I just had to keep glancing up at the television to see what was happening. This was right as the Comey stuff is coming out. And it's true, the Fox News spent a little bit, not much, time on the stuff that was breaking from the Comey book. But you know what they were talking about? Issues of substance. They were talking about Syria. They were talking about Russia. They were talking about important issues that were going on right now. You know what they were doing on CNN? They were talking about pee-pee tapes. They were talking about pee-pee tapes. They were talking about the clip that came out about James Comey's noticing that Trump's hands were smaller than his, but not abnormally small. They were talking about the gossip coming out of this book for 2 straight hours while Fox was at least talking about important issues. They were talking about real things that actually matter to people.
The Syria thing is really, really serious. It's really serious. And when I got home yesterday and I saw the, as you call them, the pee-pee tapes,
I didn't call them the pee-pee tapes. They were calling them pee-pee tapes on CNN. They were talking about golden showers. They were talking about all of it on CNN.
So I read the story. I didn't see. I've stopped watching television. I read the story when I got home, and I thought, pee-pee tapes? First of all, if you know anything about Donald Trump, you know that he's a germaphobe. So there is no way. There's no way. He wants anybody's, there's no way right, he wants right. his pee-pee in right. him or around him, okay? Let alone anybody else's. But this is what we're talking about? Seriously? Something that any sane individual or any insane reporter who is at least honest about Donald Trump and who he is, chiefly a germaphobe, knows that's not happening. Any journalist who's honest about Russia knows that's from the Russian playbook on how to discredit people. Please. Mm. And you're talking about this. while Russia is talking about World War III.
And one quick thing on the Comey book. There are two ways that books leak early. Okay. One, the publisher says, let's take this most salacious stuff and leak it out there so that the media will jump all over it and will promote the book. The other is the entire book gets out to multiple people. They go through the whole thing and they start picking the most salacious. That's a big distinction there. If this is the media getting a hold of this book and telling you the best stuff from inside of it, there's nothing in this book. Nothing.
Glenn Beck.
Bill O'Reilly is coming up in just a second.
So this Comey thing with the tapes, they're making a big deal about how he went to James Comey and asked him, hey, you know, I'm really worried my wife believes this. I want you to investigate it and show that it's not true. And they're making this out to be this big controversy. Now, whether that's appropriate for him to do to the FBI director is one thing. But the other thing is, if he actually had done it, he wouldn't assign a person he's completely uncomfortable with, James Comey, to investigate whether it's true or not.
Stop thinking this through. Right? Stop it.
This absolves him largely. Stop using logic
and reason. That's not what we do in the media now. Stop it. Come up with some distorted headline that everybody can just click on that has nothing to do with what you just said. Bill O'Reilly's next.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.